Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to One and Messiah here on The Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti again, back on another awesome Sunday morning. And this is One and Messiah, where we teach the plan of salvation through the whole scripture. So I hope you've had an awesome week. Today we're going to talk about a very interesting passage from Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus himself says this. It's a teaching. It's not a parable. It's pretty plainly stated. And the plain sense of it is easy for everyone to understand, I think. But apparently, looking at the state of our culture and the state of each individual person, I guess it's not always that simple to understand. But we're going to go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Wow. So this is an interesting but somewhat troubling passage. So in other words, there's two gates, there's two roads, let's say. It'd be easier to talk about it that way, in the way that I hope to develop this. So there's two roads. There's really two choices. And everybody is on one of the two roads. I could say that because he didn't say that there are 10 different roads. He points out there's two. So one is a broad road. It's wide. It's broad. It's easy. It's attractive. It's entertaining. It fits into our nature. It's welcoming. We get encouraged to be on the road, on that broad road. Demonic powers encourage us to take that road, talk us into thinking, wow, this is way more fun than those people on that narrow road are having. And besides, almost everybody I know is on that road. My family members, my friends, all these people that are in association with me at work and everywhere else are really having a lot of fun. So there's an allure to it. It attracts people. You want to be like everybody else. You don't want to be one of those weirdos on the narrow road. The broad road has attractions, has comforts, has not only comforts of the flesh and the problems with living in the flesh, like, you know, Paul tells us so many times in Romans and in Galatians and other places that you either live in the spirit or you live in the flesh. And the flesh has to be disciplined. He says, the old me, meaning his flesh, was crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but he lives in me. So his old self was crucified. And so that doesn't really sound very fun to the people on the broad road, because the comforts of the flesh mean you can take all your lusts on it. You can take all your appetites on it. Your appetites don't necessarily need to be checked there. As long as you're not violating the civil law, or as long as you're not ruining your friendships or harming anyone, your appetites aren't checked. You can take your lust, your power, your greed, and all the things that you want to have in the world on the broad road with you. So that's a big attraction. And as I mentioned, we have a lot of company on that road. And Jesus himself points out there's very few that are on the narrow road, which means that there are very many on the broad road. And, you know, he was asked, which prompted this, he was asked, will many be saved? And that's still a question that, probably should preoccupy people's thinking. Most churches have forgotten about that. They don't even talk about being saved anymore. Don't talk about sin and repentance anymore. Don't talk about the gospel anymore, because they don't even know what the gospel is. But that would be for another time to discuss. But there's a lot of company on that road, because he says most people are on it. There are many who go on it. And on the narrow road, there's only a few, which means most people must be on the broad road, because they want to go with the crowd. We feel better on the broad road. We have company. It's easier. There's less pressure. It kind of gives your conscience, you know, a bit of a rest. You don't have to be thinking all the time, should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? How should I be living my life? Should I be going there? Should I not be going there? You just kind of go along the road, and it makes us feel better. And within that broad road, there's a lot of other roads. There's a lot of paths you can take still on that broad road, depending what your weakness is, whether it's greed or whether it's lust or whether it's power or whether it's your ego that runs your life, whatever it is, there's plenty of other roads within the broad road. So you could really go along anywhere you want. And it all sounds very nice, except that Jesus says that this road leads to destruction. He doesn't say, well, it's really not a good idea for you to be on that road, or maybe you should think twice about it, or, you know, I don't know, this might not end up well, and, you know, you better think about it, you know, maybe. No, he says it leads to destruction. It's a very firm word. There's no question what he means by this. There's no question what the word destruction means. It doesn't mean you're going to have a bad day. It doesn't mean that there's going to be some times where you're not as happy as you were yesterday. It means that you're going to be destroyed. And this is a very, very powerful way to state it. It leads to destruction. And there's many that are on it. So it looks like a great road. In fact, when you're on the broad road, you don't see the end of it. Because people who are on the broad road tend to think about the moment that they're living in. I'm having fun right now. I'm doing this right now. I'm doing this particular whatever it is I like to do right now. I'm not thinking about what's going to happen down the road, or how much further down the road is something bad maybe happening. Because right now I'm on this part of the road and it's really fun. And my friends are here. And I'm really glad I'm on this road. But you don't know that it leads to destruction. You don't know where the end of the road is. And everybody, I mean, in our humanity, we don't like to think about there's going to be a time where we're going to die. So unless we're here when he comes back, which, as I always say, I hope is today, we are going to die at some point. If we're here when he comes back, we'll be changed and join him. But that's another story. So assuming that we're all going to die, because he may not come back for another 100 years or 200 years, your end may come today. You may die today. Nobody thinks about that. You may die a week from today. You might die this coming Thursday. You don't know when that's going to be. You may live to be 50, you may live 50 more years. So when you're on the broad road, you just assume you're going to live 50 more years. And you say, well, I'm only 30. I got a lot of time to enjoy myself. I can get a nice retirement. I can go on a lot of vacations. I can spend my money doing all kinds of fun stuff. Because you don't know that at the end of the road comes destruction. We could look at it as maybe all of a sudden the road ends and you can't stop your car and you go over the edge. Something like that. All of a sudden, the road stopped. All of a sudden, you're doing something around the house and you say, gee, I feel really weird, and you clutch your chest and you fall down. And the road's over for you. And where the road's led is destruction. So the people on the broad road don't even know they're on a road to destruction and don't want to think about it. They may occasionally hear somebody say something about it, but that's easily dismissed. It's very easy to dismiss people who you perceive as being kooky or a little weird, or why are they wasting their life doing that? They're not having any fun. Because they're trying to warn people. They're trying to warn you that you shouldn't be on that road. So you don't even know where the road is going. Then he talks about the narrow road. The narrow road goes through hostile territory, but it leads to an awesome, glorious destination. It goes through hostile territory. We have to live our lives on the road. And again, whether you live to be 10 or 50 or 110, you have to live your life in hostile territory. There is a battle going on all around you that not only involve forces of good and forces of demons, but even within yourself, there's battles. Even within yourself. And as you go through this hostile territory, you walk along this narrow road. It's one way to look at it is the narrow road goes through Calvary. The narrow road goes through the cross, because that is the only way to salvation. There has to be conversion. There has to be regeneration. You can't do it in your own human power. You have to have metanoia, which, of course, you know, is the New Testament Greek word for repentance. And it involves going in a different direction. And in this case, you could look at it as, yeah, I used to be on that other road. And then one day I realized what I was doing. And one day something somebody told me came back to me. Something I learned when I was a kid came back to me. And I don't want to be on that broad road anymore. So you've gotten to the narrow road. You've had metanoia. You've been regenerated. That can only happen by the Holy Spirit. And now you're living a life of faith. You understand grace. You're living a life of faith. You have a new direction. You have a new heart. You have a new spirit, little s. You have a whole different way to think. So now instead of walking on that broad road, having a lot of fun with all those other people that you were on the broad road with, you now have the Holy Spirit living with you and living in you. But you will be walking through hostile territory. There's going to be opposition. Somebody once said, and I can't remember who it was. I hear so many interesting things, I can't remember who said them. But this person said that if you don't know that there is spiritual warfare going on all around you, you are already a casualty. Because there's spiritual warfare and opposition going on all around us. You are technically swimming upstream when you're on the narrow road. You're counter-cultural. You know, back in the 60s, we all wanted to be counter-cultural. We wanted to, you know, in the hippie movement, we wanted to go against the establishment. We wanted to go against all the structures. And it's a matter of swimming upstream. And as a believer, as a Christian, you are going against all of that anyway. You are going against the culture that we live in. How many times have you seen people roll their eyes and say, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I really don't understand what you're saying. Because they haven't been regenerated. So there's going to be opposition coming from outside. There's going to be opposition coming not only from your friends, but from your family, even people in your church. You may not even realize it. And so it's a struggle, and it's going through territory. And Paul says you have to put off the old man. The old man has to be crucified with Christ. And because that's a narrow road, there's not choices within it. The broad road, as I said, has lots of other roads within it. You can take any number of roads, but go any number of places, to go through all the different levels of human experience and human senses and so forth, human nature. The narrow road has no choices in it. We go through the wilderness like the Israelites did. In fact, the writer to the Hebrews points out that the Israelites in the wilderness were heading toward a promised land, which was, of course, a physical promised land. It was the land of milk and honey. It was the fertile land. It was a land of safety. It was a land where God was going to settle the people. We, as believers, and hopefully as disciples, are heading toward the ultimate promised land, which, of course, is heaven. So the writer to the Hebrews points out it's the same idea. We're wandering through a wilderness with that in mind. And as the writer to the Hebrews also says, we move forward. We keep our eyes fixed on him and we move forward. Paul talks many times about athletic imagery, about running toward the finish line. Jesus said, he who perseveres to the end will be saved. Because you go, it's a race, it's a struggle, you're on the narrow road, and you're going forward. So there's no choices within it. He is the only endpoint of this. He is the only goal. Most people don't want to hear about this. Most people don't want to hear about he's the only way, this is the only way, what you're doing is not right, we are all sinners and that's why we need him. But people don't want to hear that because people think their lives are great and people think everything they're doing is fine. They don't have to set their eyes on a goal. The people on the narrow road have their eyes set on a goal, and it's a very specific goal. They know what's there, and they know what's at the end of the road. The people on the broad road don't know what's at the end of the road. They don't know that at the end of the road is destruction. They don't see the end of it. They don't understand where they're going. The people on the narrow road know where they're going and know what the goal is. So it's two different destinies, two different roads to travel on. One is broad and fun and goes to destruction. The other one is narrow. It's sometimes difficult, but it leads to life. And so it's a good way to look at this because I'm going to get to the point about if you are on the broad road and something affects you, something impacts you, there are ways off of the broad road because everyone was on the broad road at one point. I mean, everyone was. There are exits on the broad road where you can get on the narrow road. And whether you get on the narrow road early on or you get on the narrow road when you're literally on your deathbed, the issue is that you got on the narrow road and now you know where you're going. And in Luke chapter 13, which is a similar type of passage, Jesus says you must strive to enter. You have to have a change of heart. You have to be disciplined. It requires thought and struggle and diligence, like people who run a race, like people who train. You know, Paul says, why do you train for a perishable crown? You should be training for an imperishable crown. And Jesus says, many will seek to enter, but will not be able to. Some people take steps, but they don't strive. They don't go along on the road. They might be lukewarm. They might be cold. He's the master of the house. He says, when the door is shut, no one is going to open it. There are going to be lots of people who look good, who look holy. You know, Paul tells Timothy that they'll have the form of godliness, but deny its power. They won't have its power. So there'll be carnal people who look very religious. There are many religious people who are actually very carnal, but they look very religious. And Jesus says to them, he says about them that they're going to be outside while the true believers, the true worshipers, are inside. The carnal people are going to be outside looking in through the window. They are not going to be in the meal. They're not going to be in the meal with the patriarchs and the saints. They're going to be outside wailing and gnashing their teeth. This applied, of course, to the Jews of the time. They were the chosen people. They were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles. They were waiting for the Messiah. But they couldn't come to grips with this. They couldn't come to grips with the idea of Gentiles in the family. And why this program is called One New Man is we're one new man in the Messiah. There's not two bodies of Christ. There's not a Jewish body and a Gentile body. We're both in the body together. So the door, so to speak, has been open all this time. Some people choose not to go in because they like the broad road. They don't want to deal with the narrow road. They may not know about it. When they hear about it, they say, I don't want to do that. Or, as he also says in John 10, they try to go in through another way. They try to go over the walls. But he says they're robbers and marauders because he is the only one who can go in through the sheep gate. So when Noah and his family were in the ark and they closed the door, nobody else could come in. But in this picture, he points about the dinner and people outside. There's a lot of people outside that are very confident that they've been saved. They're very confident about their salvation. And they're going to call to him, Lord, Lord, we did all this stuff. They're going to knock on the door as if they have some kind of authority, like they belong in there. They thought, well, wait a minute, how come I'm not in there? I'm the one who should be in there. What are all these other people doing in there? They feel they have a right to enter. They call him Lord, Lord. They feel very familiar. But they've not been doing what they're supposed to be doing. They've been basically on the broad road, thinking all along that they were on the narrow road. They said, we ate and drank with you, thinking they had some intimacy with him. Well, Judas ate and drank with him too. He and they heard him teaching. They knew the teachings. And he says, I don't know you. you're not in my family. And so these are hard sayings, but it's important to understand that the road there is narrow. Oh, I know the music's already been playing. Well, thanks for listening, and come back again next week to One and Messiah. Have an awesome week.
The previous program was sponsored by One in Messiah.